welcome to Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
No, I'm not Cliff Huff. For those of you who have not noticed, Cliff is not with us today, so we're going to keep him in our prayers for a speedy recovery and hope that he's back with us next week. Also, because we don't have Cliff, we don't have PowerPoint, so if you don't have a bulletin, please get one. Everything will be in the bulletin today as opposed to on the screens. And one addition to the bulletin, the Apostles' Creed, for those of you who need it, is on page 35 of the hymnal, so you can find the Apostles' Creed there. Other announcements are that there will be a Women's Association meeting next Sunday, week from today, prior to worship. BJ, 9:30 do we start for Women's Association?
Yeah.
9:30. So all women of the church are welcome to attend that, and we will be discussing the Fall Craft Show. So keep that in the back of your mind. Also, as a reminder, what's today? The 7th. 3 weeks from today, August 28th, will be the annual church picnic. We'd like everybody to attend. There is a sign-up sheet on the back. Meat and beverages will be provided, but we'd like everybody to bring a side dish, salad, or dessert. So please sign the list and let us know, first of all, if you're coming or not, so we know how many people to plan for, and second of all, what, if anything, you will bring. So that's always a good time, always a good day. There will also be the annual teacup chance auction. There will be baskets there as a fundraiser. So if anybody is able to provide a basket or anything else that you would like to offer as a fundraiser for the auction, see BJ about that. So again, as I said, that's always a fun day and something good to look forward to. I think those are the only announcements I have. Did I miss anything? Anybody? Okay, once again, we welcome Tom back. We're going to quit welcoming him. He's going to be a fixture by the time Labor Day comes, but we're very happy to have him with us. And Tom, I'll give it to you.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, on this Lord's Day, as we begin August. It's going too fast, isn't it? I saw a funny cartoon. Maybe you think it would be funny. I thought it was funny. This very rich tycoon is standing at a large window, and he has his son. He's got his arm around his son, and they're looking out over the city, and the rich tycoon said, "Just think, son, someday you will inherit all of this humanity." I thought that was funny. Well, I feel like we've inherited some humanity in the last few days, haven't we? And so, but it's a good time of year for church picnics and for other things. We'll be traveling between now and next Sunday. And your prayers for safety on the road for us would be greatly appreciated. We're picking up our daughter in New York City and going to Connecticut at the shore, at the ocean, for a few days together. So I'll have my wife and both of my daughters will be together again. And that will be a fun thing for us. Let us join together in call to worship. I will lead us. The first part says people, but that's meant to be leader. And then you can pick up as we call each other to the worship of God this day. Lord, the eyes of all look to you in hope, and you give them what they need. You open your hand and satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. May the time we spend together in your presence nourish our hearts and minds. May it strengthen our relationship with you and renew our commitment to live in this world as your faithful disciples.
For you alone are God, the source and sustainer of life.
If able, we stand and let every voice join together in song. confess our sins before God and in the presence of one another, saying, forgive our hesitancy and our self-serving ways, O Lord. Heal us of the disease of seeking first our own comfort before we engage in acts of justice and mercy. Open our eyes and ears to the cries of those in need. Help us to give and also to receive ministries of love and reconciliation as we serve you with our whole hearts. Then our worship will truly reflect your awesome and abundant love for us. Amen. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It is our joy to serve God by helping each other and all those in need. Be assured of God's tender mercy towards you, and continue that love in all that you do. Amen. Now together we confess the faith of the Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again. From the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand
of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. Amen. Greet your friends and neighbors. And we are seated to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of our hymn together.
Thank you.
We certainly wish to be in prayer today for Cliff in his struggle against COVID and for complete recovery, and for all of those who are unwell, for those that we know and are our hearts today who need God's special touch, God's care, God's comfort, and God's encouragement. There are so many. We pray for our world in conflict, in hunger, in pain, in strife, floods, wildfires, wars, the world in great need of care and new beginning and healing. So let's take a moment in silence and then be led in our morning prayer. Oh God, you are our creator and sustainer. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. And so we look to you whenever we are in need, trusting in your love, even as we give thanks for your abundant goodness in every time and place and challenge of our lives. As you once fed the hungry with 5 loaves and 2 fish, we ask that you would again fill those who are empty this day. Pour out your spirit on all who hunger and thirst. Bless those who are unwell. Bless Cliff and his family and all who struggle for healing and strength. God, we praise you for your abundant gifts in our lives. Pour out your spirit on us, gathered here around your table this day, and gathered to hear your word proclaimed, and gathered to sing your praises and offer our prayers. Fill us once again to overflowing with your compassion and your love, so that we might willingly share our abundance and our faith and our hope with those in need. Pour out your spirit, may we be filled. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught disciples to say in prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If able, we stand again in this marvelous hymn, one of my favorites, taken from the 23rd Psalm. May it be true in your life. My shepherd will supply my need. Let us stand, if able, and sing together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. That's all you need to know, friends. Our good shepherd feeds and guides and blesses us every day, every step of the way. This is a perfect hymn for the sermon. That's why I'm repeating the words, so that you can keep that in mind as we continue to worship today now, as we bring our gifts of love and devotion.
Scripture is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
The Beatitudes of Jesus, our theme for this summer time together. And from Matthew's Gospel then, now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let us pray. Oh God, may our hearts be yours this day. May our minds be yours to fill. And may our lives be yours to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't caught it yet this summer, The Beatitudes of Jesus, found in Matthew 5, are counter everything that we think and believe. And so we have to fight against our own mind, against ourselves, so that these words can find their truth in our lives. This is not logic. This does not come naturally. My goodness, the world would never, never, never give us these words to live by. This is a world of success and achievement, where the rich are rewarded and the powerful are rewarded, and people claim life because of their effort and muscle and mind, strength and ability. And then Jesus comes and just turns all of this upside down. The truth is that our lives are not dependent upon what we have, what we hold, what we can do. Our lives come to us in a completely different way. Now, I know that some of you probably tried to win the lotto this last week. I told my wife, I said, I think it's up to $1 billion. And you know what she said? Somebody's got to win. I guess she wanted me to go put down $2 for a ticket. Somebody did. I think they're from Illinois. They stopped in a Speedway gas station. They put down $2. They put down six numbers. And whoever it was became a billionaire. I know the chances are 1 in 300 million that you can do that, but somebody's got to win, right? And just imagine what you can do with $1 billion. Oh, my mind just goes wild. You can buy your own jet plane. You can go to the World Series and the Super Bowl every year. Why, you could buy your children and your grandchildren a mansion of their own with a swimming pool and tennis courts if you have $1 billion. And then Jesus comes along and teaches the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart are the people who want one thing. That's what pure in heart means. To want one thing. And so we have to fight against ourselves and against what the world tells us, what success looks like. We have to fight against those because we want many things. We want many things, don't we? We have to fight that in our own lives, all the things that we want. That explains why the TV preachers, the prosperity gospel folks, God bless them. God bless the TV preachers, okay? God bless the TV preachers. But I want you to know that they promise blessings on earth, they tell us that if we just believe it, if we just claim it, that God is just waiting in the wings. God can't wait to give us these blessings if we will just believe it and claim it. And of course, send them some money, that won't hurt, but this is the prosperity gospel. But of course, we have no idea what we need. That's why we're here today, to find out what we need. We have no idea what we need. The book of Romans, Paul writes in one of his parts of that letter to the church, he said, we don't even know what to pray for. And so the Holy Spirit has to come and has to rescue our prayers, because we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what our deepest needs are. And the Holy Spirit takes these broken prayers, these partial prayers, these imperfect prayers, these self-serving prayers, and the Holy Spirit lifts them up to God the Creator. And our prayer becomes a perfect prayer, because we don't have the slightest idea of what we need. The text we had read for us this morning from Philippians is a pure in heart text. Paul says in that text, he says, I've given up on my dreams. Well, he doesn't say that, but it can be read into that text. But he says, I've lost everything. But you don't hear it as a complaint. He's not complaining to the church that he's lost everything. He said, I've lost everything, and I count it, and there's various ways to translate the word, garbage, rubbish. And then he goes on to say this pure in heart piece. I count everything as loss that I might gain Christ. You see how that text is a pure in heart text. That Paul is saying, there's one thing that I need. And having received that one thing, I have received everything. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, because resurrection and cross are always held together. Paul is saying, by having this one thing, I have everything. Now, I want to say something that's very audacious here. More audacious than the prosperity gospel folks would dare to say. It's what we sang in our hymn. That if we put one thing first, then we can then allow God to make every other thing available according to our needs. That's an audacious thing to say. That God will supply our every need, as the hymn we just sang, to believe that. Not everything that we want, not our dreams come true, Listen carefully. Everything that we need to reach the place that God wants us to go will be supplied, will be given. And we don't have to worry about that. We can be like the lilies of the field, you see. We can just live in the freedom and in the joy and in the providence of God. The providence of God is that God will provide everything that we need to reach the place that God is leading us to go. Now, just to finish this, there is kind of a P.S. When Paul writes here, he uses a word. He said, I've lost everything, and I consider it, there's a Greek word there. It's only used once in the Bible. Once in the whole New Testament, Greek New Testament. This word is only used one time. He said, I've lost everything, and I consider it, and our English translations clean up the word. You know what I mean? They clean it up, rubbish, garbage. Literally, Paul is saying, I've lost everything, and then he uses a vulgar word, a vulgar word. It's skubala. That's the word in Greek, and it's vulgar. And it means, and I'm not going to say the vulgar word, because you wouldn't invite me back. I would never be in this pulpit again. He says, I've lost everything, and I consider it to be fecal matter, feces, crap. I'm not going to say the word, but you know what the word is. That I may gain Christ. And once having gained Christ, the power of his resurrection, then to live in the confidence and in the freedom and the joy that God will provide every day, every moment, when the most important thing is the first thing. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Amen. As we prepare now to come to the table, we will sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of our communion hymn. What a good one. You satisfy the hungry heart. Let us join together as we remain seated around the table.
being stronger in love, find your will being made stronger in service. As we renew our faith and are renewed by the gifts and the promises at this table. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust Him to share in the feast which He has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up our hearts.
We give them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe, in your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might.
Take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. And so we remember, as Scripture gives us these words of institution, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread and, having given thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord. Gifts of God for the people. faith in you. This is my God.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the strength and power and presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.